Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the very first episode of the Red Pill Reports. This is a monumental day for everyone here involved, and I just have to take a second, just sigh. I gotta say, ladies and gentlemen, it is so nice to be back here with all of you again. I hope I am coming through loud and clear to all of you out there. For those of you who know me, thank you for checking up on us and for tuning in today. This is going to be a very exciting program, not only today, but hopefully going forward into the future. My name is J.D. Moore. For those of you who don't know me, that's my name. And I'll give you a little bit about my background here in a second, but I want to get to some thank yous before I do anything. I know a lot of you might be familiar with me already. I spent a lot of time over at another radio show on another network, and I have a lot of love in my heart for that other radio show. Of course, we're talking about the Power Hour, and want to give a huge thanks first and foremost to Miss Captain Joyce Riley for all of her support and encouragement and for helping me just make this monumental move and for supporting me and helping me get where I need to be to make all this happen. Some other thank yous that are in due will be, of course, to my very good friend Jeff Fletcher, who is taking on the role of producing this show and has been doing a fantastic job getting us wonderful guests lined up. I think if you guys, listener-wise, get a chance to go to the website, which is redpillreports.com, you will see a slew of incredible guests that we've got that Jeff has worked so hard to get for all of us. Coming up in the next month and then moving forward on from there. It's going to be very, very exciting, and I'm very, very happy to call Mr. Fletcher my friend and to be working so closely with him. Another gentleman that does need to be called out also is Mr. Robert Lundgren. I like to call him Dolph, but he doesn't always appreciate that. He is my web guru. The man is just a miracle when it comes to the internet and connectivity, and has helped me do more than I could even let you guys know about, to be honest. These guys are fantastic people. They have come together, and they came to me and asked me if I wanted to do a show, and have essentially put everything together kind of behind the scenes just to make all this happen. Everybody is going pro bono right now, so I really appreciate you guys. I just want you guys to know that. So before I get further along in the speech, I want to get those thank yous out there. There are obviously other people out there that have been in the support role also, and I can't thank all of you guys right now, but you all know who you are, and I very much appreciate all of you. So, what are we doing here? That's a great question, and I'm really glad you asked. Again, name of the program is the Red Pill Report Radio Show. We will be filing what we like to consider Red Pill Reports. Now, these are going to be either your mainstream news, in which case we are going to try and look at that mainstream news and figure out why it is they're telling us what it is they're telling us, and trying to decipher the agenda. We're also going to be covering a lot of alternative news. We have quite a few fantastic guests lined up in terms of alternative news, but we also have something new that we're bringing to the program called our Red Pill Reporters. And this is something we're going to try and do wholeheartedly here at the program. This is a forum. We're not trying to be, there's no pedestals involved here. I'm not anybody special. I'm not here to tell everybody, what I think. What we're doing is trying to create a forum so that we can bring all of this information together. We can allow the listeners to talk to guests. We can allow listeners to bring us people that they want to bring. And we already have a couple of Red Pill Reporters. Now, these are people who are going to bring exclusive information and exclusive opinions straight to the Red Pill website. So if you go to redpillreports.com, you can see some of these exclusive reports. And we're going to open this up so that we We're going to make a request that anybody out there that is a writer or that would like to write, we're going to try and come up with some sort of contest. I haven't really figured out how it's going to work yet. I'm thinking what we'll do is we'll probably have people submit some articles, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 a week, and put them on the site, and then let other listeners and readers kind of decide who they think is the best writer. And then we'll figure out a way to get those people incorporated. So if you are interested in doing something like that, you can contact us again through redpillreports.com and submit some writing or submit some story ideas, and we will definitely be in touch with you there. If you want to reach out to me specifically, my email is jd@redpillreports.com. Again, that's JD with no periods at redpillreports.com, and you can email me with any of your concerns or ideas or guest suggestions. If you hate me, love me, whatever you want to tell me, I'm happy to hear it. I really appreciate you guys tuning in today. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'll just give you a little bit of my background. I am in my, late, early, mid-40s. I'm over 35, we'll just say that, but not quite to the 40 mark yet. And I'm not in any hurry to get there. But I grew up here in the Midwest. I still live here in the Midwest. The show is being broadcast live right now from the Midwest here in the beautiful state of Missouri, which is quite chilly and windy today. I hope you guys are staying warm wherever you are. But I did grow up here in the Midwest. Still open doors for the ladies. Still try and do all those wonderful things that the Midwesterners are known for. I did escape the Midwest due to the weather when I left college. When I left high school, excuse me, and I went to college out in Washington State. Spent a long time out there working as an engineer and as a production supervisor, so to speak. And then I actually quit doing that, went back to school, studied music, spent 5 years studying music and a year in the UK singing opera, which is, yes, it's true. And then after that, I ended up getting a job for the Department of Defense, and I worked as a hydraulic and lubrication specialist for a whole lot of people. Doing a lot of important things until I just couldn't take it anymore. And I've done a lot of other things. I'm really into photography, really into music, really into trying to figure out the truth. I've really been involved with the truth movement since about, well, pretty much 9/11, I'd say. And I know a lot of people look at 9/11 as the thing that really opened their eyes. My story is a little bit different in that I was working for a company that made technical rescue equipment. So we were one of the only companies in America that supplied protection equipment and rescue equipment for firefighters. And our company was in the process during the weeks before 9/11 of getting ready to move facilities. So we had added extra shifts, and we had ramped up production to a point where we could shut down for a month during the move and not lose any ground. And I remember showing up at work that morning on 9/11 and coming into the office a little bit late, and nobody talked to me. And I thought, man, well, I must be in trouble because I'm a little bit late this morning. And then I realized everyone in the office was huddled around a little black and white TV, and the first plane had already hit the tower. And so we were kind of right in that middle zone there waiting to see if how bad this was going to get. And, of course, we watched it live, you know, on television. We can talk a lot about 9/11 and what really happened that day. And I imagine sometime in the future we probably will. But in terms of that time, the TV did seem to show a plane hitting the tower. And I knew right away, I said, this isn't right. This is either an attack or this is some kind of crazy false flag type of event. But it was very visceral because we had to drop ship every single thing that we had in our storeroom all the way to New York. And it cost us a lot. We were happy to do it, obviously, but not happy to do it, but, you know, we were able to do it, so we did do it. But it was very real, not necessarily from watching it on TV, but having things in your hands then go to help people is a definitely a different experience. And so that really opened my eyes and made it very important to me to take it upon myself to try and learn some things. You know, I realized very early on after all that I didn't know quite as much as I thought I did. And I still don't, and I hope to someday. So that's kind of the nature of what we're doing here now. We are, we're going to be going over mostly the news every morning. We'll do an hour's worth of news. We'll, of course, cover world news and the U.S. news. We'll get into the economy. I'm really keyed up on science and technology, so we're going to talk about that for a little while also. We'll try and touch on health concerns, energy and environment, and we'll even get into some home and garden. And if there's anything weird going on or funny stories, we're going to cover those too. So that's kind of the name of the game for the show right now. It is going to be Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until noon, and that's Central Standard Time. And the 11 o'clock hour, Central, will be the guest hour. And I have to say, before we get even any further along, our guests today, we are coming out of the gate swinging, kids. We have got Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton from True Stream Media coming on the show. We're going to talk about all kinds of things. I just love these kids. They are just, you cannot find better independent journalists than these two. And happy to be rapidly moving towards a real friendship with those guys. So they're going to be on the show at 11 o'clock. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things. Some new stuff that they're breaking right now that'll be exclusive to their website. I definitely want to encourage everyone to go to Truth Frequency Radio too. We need to support our new network. I've totally forgot to thank Chris Geo earlier, owner of the network, who is just the most gracious man I've met in ages and has done so much to help us get this together. I know he works ridiculously long hours. That's probably the busiest guy I know. So Chris, if you're listening, thank you again for giving us this opportunity. We will do our best not to fall flat on our face. So again, the name of the game, guys, is going to be news for the first hour. We're going to have guests in the second hour. We are going to have news and opinion that you're not going to get anyplace else. So this is going to be someplace you're going to want to tune in every day. We're going to be talking about so much stuff. It's just going to be mind-boggling. And before we get too more into it, I want to give you guys some phone numbers to call in. We are going to open some lines. It may not be today. I might open them up later when Melissa and Aaron are on. We just don't know. We're going to kind of take it by the seat of our pants here for the first week or so. But the call lines are always there. And if someone has something interesting to say, I'd always love to hear from you. And the phone number to call in to participate in a program, either now or in the future, is 866-37 and then word truth, T-R-U-T-H, which also translates to 866-378-7884. You can also listen live if you're one of those people out there that has a cell phone with unlimited minutes and you'd like to listen to your programs live over your phone so you can be out messing around with your woodpile or blowing leaves or whatever it is that you're doing out there. You can call 832-225-5308. And again, that number is 832-225-5308. And you'll be able to then pick on your phone which program you want to listen to, and you can listen to us live right over your phone. There are also, if you go to Truth Frequency Radio, there are going to be archives of the show once we create this particular show, and it will become an archive. You'll be able to download that from there. We'll probably have links up as soon as Robert can get them to the redpillreports.com website also, so you'll be able to find us there. And Truth Frequency has an Android and iPhone app, so there are so many different ways that you guys will be able to tune in and listen. We're going to take a quick 3-minute break just because we're kind of messing around with the format a little bit. So you guys stay tuned, listen to a little musical interlude. We'll get some coffee and then we'll come back and we'll hop right back into the news. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. This is JD Moore. This is the Red Pill Reports and this is your daily dose of deprogramming. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for bearing with us. I had to go get some tea because it is a tea day because it's chilly outside. So, okay, we have pretty much gone over everything that we needed to go over. You guys know who I am and you know what we're doing here, so that pretty much covers all of that. Let's get into the news. I have not gotten to speak with any of you guys for a few weeks, and needless to say, the world has not gotten any smoother. There are countless things that we could talk about today, but we are going to jump into the big stuff that's going on overseas right now. I think that's probably the most important stuff. And, you know, what's the most important thing on everybody's mind right now? And I hate to even say it because I don't want to be the guy that's bringing all this up, but it is Ebola. And we're going to talk to Aaron and Melissa about this later. I got to say, Melissa did a fantastic expose on the Ebola is real campaign that's going on in Africa right now. And when we were having our discussion, we talk a few times a week anyway, but when we were talking this last time, she had really kind of brought up some ideas about whether or not this whole Ebola thing was really legitimate. And so I'm still kind of on the fence about that. She convinced me of a lot of things that I wasn't really convinced about, and I know my good friend Fletch out there is probably nodding in agreement right now. But that doesn't mean necessarily that we're out of the woods on this thing, because what I think is very apparent more than anything is we're witnessing agenda here. There's no doubt in my mind that information is now being controlled when it comes to Ebola. And one of the stories I want to cover today came out of the Washington Post this weekend, and it's talking about some scientific studies, that basically came to the conclusion that these airport screenings that they're doing are really, really ineffective. This report that they're talking about comes from a few different scientific studies, and all of them have to do with the bird flu epidemic that went on. So they basically looked at how the bird flu epidemic was handled in terms of screening and whether or not those screenings were effective. So, of course, we're not talking about the same disease, but we are talking about a similar transmission rate and a scary kind of thing. So it's important to understand that these scientific studies showed that when we were going through the H1N1 stuff, they were not as effective, well, not nearly as effective as they had hoped. Some of the numbers and statistics are actually pretty startling. According to some of the screenings that happened at Australia's Sydney Airport, they actually detected fever in about 5,800 cases. And because of that, they actually only found one person with swine flu out of 5,800 cases. And they estimate that on average, roughly 48 people probably made it through the screenings. And, you know, I'm not trying to be here and say that this is going to be a real scary, scary deal, but if it was going to be a really scary deal, America would be the very place that it would be the scariest, in my opinion. So the fact that, you know, Obama has decided really, really begrudgingly to even initiate any of these airport screenings, and they're very minimal at that, and whether or not they're effective, I think that's important. And I think it's important on a national front. You know, I read an article yesterday saying that in Syria, the rate of Ebola has jumped nine times. So what are we witnessing? Are we witnessing the second coming of the AIDS epidemic? Is that because, you know, my understanding of the AIDS epidemic was that certain powers that be released things over there and then included some of it here as a red herring. And I'm wondering if that's kind of what we're seeing here. And again, we'll try and get into this a little bit more with Aaron and Melissa later this morning. Wow, I'll get this right, guys, don't worry. But some other situations about this Ebola, I just want to make a couple of points about this that I don't think people are really, really thinking about it in as much context as there is available, because I believe that this new drug czar guy, this new Ebola czar, you know, he was head of staff when Janet Reno was covering up for Waco. So this guy's whole job is covering stuff up. That's what he is here to do. And, you know, if you're involved with this truth movement or the Patriot movement, you understand the concept of continuity of government. And I guess my main thought on that is what we're witnessing with the way that they're handling this Ebola outbreak in the United States is exactly that, is a continuity of government. And what I mean by that is that they are mostly concerned about continuity of themselves. They're not really concerned about the continuity of your well-being. They're, you know, any of these archaic institutions like government that really today only exist for their own, you know, self-existence. They only exist to perpetuate their own existence. That's where their concern is going to be. So, I think about that kind of stuff and think, okay, the only people who are really going to be responsible for me are me. And I need to make sure that I at least have some of the facts. And some of the facts on this Ebola thing, just from a disease standpoint, is pretty startling. You know, we've seen over 300 current mutations on this disease, according to the National Institute of Health. There has been information come out recently that 12% of cases, 12%, that's more than 10%, guys, 12%, asymptomatic, which means you can be a carrier and not have any symptoms. 12%, that's huge. And again, Ebola kills you. This isn't like just, oh, I'm going to get the sniffles and I'm going to be down out of work for a week. This is scary stuff. You've got 3 to 5% of cases that have an incubation period over 21 days. 21 to 45 days and 3 to 5%. So now let's look at that 3 to 5% of over 21 days and add that to asymptomatic transmission. And you can see that this is a pretty bad deal. I'm not saying necessarily that it's 100% going to get here, or that it even is here, because, you know, you have to take what you see on the television with a certain grain of salt. But my feeling is that we know without a doubt that there have been agendas at play that have tried without, you know, to reduce population. That's been a goal of a lot of people who are in positions of power that they probably shouldn't have for a long time. And so is the response to this Ebola in the United States simply a veil of incompetence, or is it actual incompetence? Are they putting people who are incompetent in power so that there is plausible deniability? I don't know. All I know right now is, according to the Washington Post, the scientific studies show without a doubt that these Ebola screenings that are going to be taking place at the airport are probably not that good. So, again, I'm not trying to be here and rile anybody up or scare anybody, but that is where we're at with Ebola right now, and that's what's going on with those screenings at the airport. So take that with a grain of salt. If you guys decide to travel right now, you're kind of, you know, you're on your own. I'm not going to an airport. I'll tell you that right now. I got my storable food, and I'm ready to sit in the house for 3 months if I have to. So there's that. We also had some developments in Pakistan this weekend. There was a very, very large explosion. A suicide bomber was successful in detonating a bomb at a checkpoint at the Pakistan and India border. And this is the only border between Pakistan and India that's actually open for vehicles or travel. So it's a very, very, very sensitive area already. We're talking about the Wagah border near Lahore. And again, what happened essentially was a gentleman came. Well, let me back up. At this border, they do a ceremony every day. They do a daily ceremony where they drop the flags, and a lot of people and troops are there paying homage to the flag. And this gentleman with the suicide bomb was trying to get through the checkpoint to where the grandstands were, and in effect, really, really to hurt a lot of people, because there were several thousand people there. But fortunately, there are paramilitary rangers that actually operate the checkpoints, and they stopped this guy. And unfortunately, he decided that it was then and there that he was going to detonate his bomb. He did kill a couple of rangers, and more than 50 people were injured. I'm sorry, more than 50 people were killed, and more than 100 injured in this. It could have been a lot worse, but it does show that the situation between Pakistan and India is not as stable as we thought it has been, and it does seem to be continuing to heat up over there. So we'll keep an eye on that also. We got more information also about the Occupy movement that's taking place in Hong Kong. I'm sure a lot of you have been following the story, as Hong Kong is attempting to move towards democracy for the first time. This is another situation where we have the world is moving ahead, and people are starting to really wake up, some interesting developments happening over in the Hong Kong Occupy movement. One of the things I found really interesting was that they are, even though the government has completely shut them down in terms of their communication ability, they have all been able to become independently communicated with each other. They built a network, a mesh network, using a smartphone app. So I like seeing things like that, where these people who are up against the wall are starting to actually be able to do some things and move forward. So I think we might be coming up on a break right now, so you guys will just have to bear with us here for a second. And we're going to take a quick 3-minute station break. We'll be right back.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Hangar 18, your TFR Roundtable. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the program. This is, of course, Red Pill Reports, and today's date is the 3rd of November, 2014. We're zooming right along. Let's jump into some more international news while we have you guys here. Thank you guys very much for staying with us over that break, too. Appreciate you guys being here today. Want to talk about some of the things that are going on in Kobani right now, which is where the Kurdish Peshmerga fighters are essentially battling in Kobani, against the ISIS militants. And so they just, on Wednesday of last week, a group of 200 more FSA fighters entered the besieged town at the request of the YPG. And the Syrian Kurdish forces who have been defending Kobani against ISIS attacks since mid-September. So we are, again, seeing more escalation in Syria, much to the chagrin of the Syrian government, because obviously they are not, they don't want us there, and they do not want us, helping with the airstrikes or doing anything like that, but it doesn't seem like we're going to turn it down. I did read something in an article the other day that mentioned fields of cannabis in Syria, and I hadn't even really ever thought about that before, that there would be yet another resource that we might want to get our hands on there, which is kind of par for the course for what's going on right now. But again, more FSA fighters have joined in the battle against ISIS in Syria. being supported, of course, by the United States with our air attacks in Kobani. And we will keep an eye on what's going on there to keep you guys up to date on that. Also, a video came out last week, though, regarding ISIS and America that shows very specifically that America kind of made a boo-boo. And I just have a lot of trouble thinking that these things are actually mistakes when we're making them. But I'll pretend that this was a mistake and we accidentally dropped a whole bunch of weapons over to ISIS. But the ISIS kids, they were nice enough to put together a YouTube video showing all of the wonderful things that somehow the United States dropped into the wrong territory. They were trying to drop weapons to the Kurdish fighters, the Peshmerga, obviously, and maybe made a miscalculation and dropped some weapons into ISIS's hands. And ISIS put a nice tweet up about it and put a nice video up about it, which you can find if you go to, I should have mentioned this earlier, if you go to redpillreports.com, there is a tab at the top that says show. And under that heading will always be the articles, or at least most of the articles, that we're going to cover during the program. So you can always go to that tab, pull it up, find these articles that we're talking about, and go on and make your own decisions. But that's where they're all going to be day to day, so you guys can pick up on those and follow along. So it's up to the air whether or not this ISIS drop of weapons to them. I mean, I'm sure that they they've probably got enough of our weapons at this point. We've seen videos of them with tanks and MRAPs and Humvees, and they seem to have some pretty nice Toyotas. They have a nicer Toyota than I do, which is kind of disappointing. But they don't have any shortage of American weapons, and but I guess we maybe needed to drop some more of them to them. So that's what happened there. I want to jump down to South America really quick. I know a lot of people are following the BRICS banks and Brazil and what's going on down there. And it was kind of up in the air this last week before this election. So Brazil just reelected their incumbent, Dilma Rousseff. Now, she, there's a long, obviously sordid story behind her involvement in Brazil. You know, the United States essentially put in a military dictatorship down there, and she was kind of imprisoned as a guerrilla fighter. And has now become, you know, the shining example and the beacon for her people, which is obviously why she won again. She's also done a whole lot to reduce poverty levels, I think probably by about 55% just since, I think, 2003. So she's obviously, you know, kind of the people's champion. But it has a lot to do with this BRICS bank, because her competition was going to move very quickly away from any type of BRICS involvement. And without Brazil, there's a lot of speculation as to whether or not the BRICS bank would have even been successful in the first place, or if that would have taken a lot of teeth out of the tiger, so to speak. And so with her being reelected, that is really, really, really going to bolster the entire BRICS organization in terms of longevity. They've always been really good about working together and, you know, unifying for a common goal, but being able to keep key leaders in positions of power in the countries that are affected by the BRICS bank is going to be key for their success going forward. I'm going to speak next week, I believe, with Joseph Meyer, who does the Smart Money Analysis website. He is a fantastic guy, fantastic information about stuff like that. So we'll talk to him next week a little bit more about developments in the BRICS bank. But one of the things I've learned recently about the BRICS bank is that it is not just five countries. There's actually almost another 100 that are already on board. And when I was talking to Joseph the other day, he had mentioned to me that a smart investment move might be looking at those countries that are going to be in line with the BRICS banks and starting to look at investment opportunities in some of those countries. So I think that very well could be something to look for in this BRICS bank. And I think now that this election has happened, that's going to bolster confidence in the BRICS bank quite a bit, which I think, you know, we're going to get into economic news a little bit later, but, you know, what's that BRICS bank going to do to the value of your dollar, I think, is weighing heavily on everyone's minds right now. So that is what's going on in the international scene right now. There are probably 1,000 other things that I've missed, and feel free to email me and yell at me about that, because I will do my best to pick up on what it is that everyone thinks is very, very important. But I do want to move on to some national news right now, because obviously this is a huge week for us. You know, we've got the midterm elections this week. That's going to be huge. I think that the midterm elections are probably why we're not hearing anything about Ebola. I think that we're doing everything we can to keep that out of the news cycle. Let's start real quick with another thing that we're trying to keep out of the business of knowledge, or out of the arena of our knowledge, while this election is going on. I just got a fantastic article from PubliusForum.com, and it's basically just very up to date what's going on right now. And Barack Obama has decided that he is going to put a gag order on insurance rates and the new insurance prices until after the 2015, I'm sorry, until after the midterm elections. So they are not going to allow, when this has never happened before. So here's a quote. Here's a quote from Stephen Tucker. Now, he is an insurance agent, and he says, "This year, for the first time in 20 years, I cannot even quote a replacement product because Barack Obama has issued a gag order to the health insurance industry instructing them not to disclose their January 2015 health insurance rates until after the midterm elections." Now, if that's not criminal, I don't know what is. And of course, you know, par for the course for this administration to be doing something like this. But, you know, normally health insurance premiums are released to the public every 60 days or 60 days before the January 1st effective date so that you can make a decision. So again, we're not even just talking about keeping important information away from you, but we're talking about keeping you from being able to make an informed decision. And that is the name of the game right now. So this is why we're talking about it. I feel very bad for everybody who is wrapped up in this healthcare system right now. I think that I don't really have anything else to say about that. I think that it's just criminal what's going on, and that's where we're at with that right now. I do have some good news to talk about today. The retired Marine who fought in Afghanistan and was arrested after traveling into Mexico with weapons. He had loaded weapons. He was traveling and got onto a road, went into Mexico on accident, and has been in jail there for quite a long time. Well, as of Friday, he has been released. So he is back in the United States. A Mexican judge basically said that they didn't have any more reason to hold him, so that they decided to let him go. He's been reunited with his mother, and he is on his way back to San Diego. So hopefully he will be able to, you know, get over that incident and move forward with his life. That's something we'd like to see, and we all wish him the best. I'm wondering if we had to give up 5 or 6 really hardcore drug cartel guys to get that trade to happen, but that's information that we'll probably never have. So that's good news, though. He is back home, and we like to hear that. How about a story from NBC Washington talking about how many billions with a B, as in, boy, that's a lot of money, in secret purchases the federal government has made in the last few months. We're talking about micro-purchases. This whole article is about something called micro-purchases. And a micro-purchase is when a member of the government spends less than $3,000 on a card that is issued by the government. And because it's less than $3,000, they don't have to disclose it. They don't have to disclose it. $20 billion of undisclosed secret purchases to places like Starbucks for $30,000 worth of Starbucks. I would hope that you could buy a Starbucks franchise for $30,000, because that is a lot of money to spend on coffee. And I'm a coffee addict. So again, government spending lots of money, not telling us all about it. At least they're accounting for this. It's not like the $6 trillion that the State Department lost, or $6 billion that the State Department lost, because they just didn't have an accounting system that would make it work. But there are tons of agencies involved with this. The Department of VA doesn't disclose any micro-purchases. The EPA does not disclose micro-purchases. Department of Transportation, U.S. State Department, Health and Human Services, and Homeland Security. So all of these guys are spending ridiculous amounts of money and not telling us about it. So that's great. Par for the course. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Let's talk about something that happened to the Bundy family. This is a story coming from InfoWars, which always does such fantastic reporting. I appreciate hopefully some future collaboration with all of those guys over there. But this is a story about Bundys, the Bundy from the Bundy Ranch fame, back in the news again. And we're talking about Mr. Bundy's son, Amon. And the story is absolutely insane. And what it essentially boils down to is that Harry Reid did exactly what he said he was going to do. He essentially got all of the Bundys put onto a terrorist watch list, and now it is affecting their lives as they're trying to travel around the country. Case in point, Amon Bundy. His name is spelled Amon, A-M-M-O-N, right? Okay. We all know, we've talked to him, we've seen him on CNN. Amon Bundy is a normal guy. He and his 12-year-old daughter trying to fly from Salt Lake City to Phoenix for a special event. And they had to be there at a certain time, so they got to the gate early, just as they normally would. And they get to the screening line, and the guy asks him, you know, what his name is. And he says, well, it's Amon. It's written on my, you know, written on my ticket there. And I think that maybe the gentleman thought he was Arabic, even though he's obviously a cowboy, and there aren't a lot of Arabic cowboys all there. But his boarding pass had the big bold four S's on top. So they escalated. They got people involved. They took him and his poor 12-year-old daughter to a private room. They did a whole bunch of screenings. You know, they basically looked through all of his belongings, asked him a whole bunch of questions. They had three different levels of supervisors come to explain to him, you know, that he was on this list now, and that he said every time he's going to travel, he's going to be treated this way. So apparently Harry Reid was very effective in what he was trying to get accomplished in terms of the Bundys, and has got them all now on a terrorist watch list. And what's interesting to me is that after this happened, obviously the Bundys, they missed their flight, so they were not going to continue on, because they would have missed their connection, they wouldn't have made it to the event that they were trying to get to. So after spending an hour with security, they said, well, we're gonna call No Joy and we're gonna go home. So they went to the ticket counter and they asked for a refund. The refund lady, the agent, said, well, we can't give refunds based on, you know, what the government does. That's beyond our power to do that. So he explained to them calmly who he was and why the government had put him in this position. And the agent said, you know what? That is disgusting. I'm going to start your refund right now, and I'm going to handle this. And it makes me sick to my heart to know that they treated you like that. So at least at the end of the day, there was a little bit of resolution, which is nice. Unacceptable. Unacceptable, Mr. Reid. Unacceptable for the administration to treat real American people as terrorists. I don't like it at all. We're going to take another quick break, get a little bit more tea. If you guys need to get some coffee, this would be the perfect time to do it. Really appreciate you guys staying with us today. We're going to come back and we'll get into some follow-up national news about the election, just a couple little tidbits, and then we'll get into the dailies economy and let you know what's going on with the markets and with metals and things like that. So again, this is the Red Pill Reports. My name is JD, and you are here for your daily dose of deprogramming. We'll be right back. Keep it right here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for sticking with us. We have to keep updating our tea quotient here or we will freeze to death because it is cold outside today. I'm not lying. I hope wherever you are, you're finding some time to be warm and to appreciate the beauty of the moment because that's all you got, guys. It's all you got. So I wanted to get back into some national news here real quick just because it is election day. Again, we're going to be talking with Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton here in just a few minutes, and we will be talking quite a bit about impending election issues. I also, before we get back into the news, I want to mention again that Truth Frequency Radio is listener supported. So anything you can do to go help check out the website, spread it, tell all your friends, you know, support the sponsors, anything you can do to help keep us on the air and make it, you know, worthwhile for Chris to keep us on the air. That would be awesome. So we appreciate that, guys. Thanks a lot. Getting back to the national news, there has been a development in the Diebold election system stuff. Diebold, of course, is the electronic voting systems that we all know and loathe. Possibly Diebold election systems could be three words that are synonymous with the aggressive pursuit of failure. Not only did the company badly implement a dubious concept, which was, of course, the unverifiable electronic touchscreen voting machines, but it did so with such a determined flourish, and it lets its code out, communications of its code leak out onto the internet so people can figure it out. So anyway, Diebold has done something really fantastic. They have decided that instead of, you know, focusing on that negative history that some people might, you know, ascribe to them, they thought it'd be easier to just go ahead and change their name. So they went ahead, they scrubbed Wikipedia, and the new name of the Diebold Election Systems is now Premier Election Systems. Again, that is Premier Election Systems. So if you go to a voting booth and you see one of those machines, ask for a paper ballot. That's what I would do. And in that same vein, comes a story off of the Hill today by Mr. Corey Bennett, who did a fantastic job talking about how states are just abandoning these electronic voting machines in droves. They're saying nearly 70% of the voters that are going to be voting this week will be casting their ballots by hand on Tuesday with paper. So that is a good thing. I think that even though some people think the paper ballot might be a little old school, so to speak, the tangibility of it just makes it so much nicer. I know enough about machines and computers that I don't believe that there's such a thing as a secure network, and I definitely don't believe there's such a thing as a secure election. So you combine those two things, and then you get voters fraud, which is what we have now. First confirmed state in Rio Arabia County, and this is, of course, in New Mexico. A voter tried to cast an early ballot in Española on Saturday and was told he had already voted 3 days prior. So we already have some indications of voter fraud. So just more fuel for the fire for the wonderful awesomeness that is going to be our country. I do also have to draw your attention back. I'm not going to get through all the news today, guys. It's just not going to happen. There's just too much going on. So I do want everybody to go to redpillreports.com and go to the show section, in which case you can see all of these links and be able to read some of them more thoroughly than I'm able to go over them with you today. But there was another story that broke this weekend, which I thought was very important, and that it's that a senator has exposed all of the zip codes for where all of these criminal illegals were released in the country. So you can go on this onto our website. You can find that story, and it will take you to a link where you can see all of the zip codes where all of these people were released. And the reason that I think that that is important is because there's obviously, and this isn't just conjecture, but there's obviously a connection between this enterovirus 68 and this open border policy and where we're shuffling these people around in our country, you know, under the guise of some kind of humanitarian effort. And I don't want anybody to think I'm not humanitarian, because I am, but I also recognize that when there is an agenda at foot, it's very easy to play on people's humanitarian interests and play on their emotional interests. So it's very easy to say, oh, these children need our help and we want to help them, but at the cost of our own children. There have already been children who are here that have passed away from this enterovirus 68, and I don't believe that we're doing enough to try and stop that, and I don't believe that it's in the news enough as it is. But if you want to check your local area to find out if any of those illegal immigrants had been shipped to your area, you can find that link on our website, and I would encourage everyone to go there and check that out. I want to move into the economy very quickly, just because there's a lot of things going on with that right now. Right now, obviously, the announcement from the Fed last week that they're going to stop QE. I mean, that's huge. We're going to taper QE off. And I thought when that announcement was made, because it's going to be happening this month, that we would see some major market turmoil. And we haven't. We haven't seen hardly anything at all. The markets are off maybe about 25 points today. We're still well above the 17,000 Dow mark, which doesn't make a lot of sense. I know the Fed is still planning on keeping interest rates exceptionally low, you know, but I still would have thought there would have been a little bit more in terms of development on the market. Perhaps maybe later this week we'll see some things. Gold right now is hovering just below 1170. So it's right now it's $1,169 an ounce. So just as I said, below 1170, and silver is touching off of $16 right now. And I'll tell you what, if, you know, you're in the market for metal, silver would be the angle that I would be going after right now. It's been a large report come out about Sears. Sears and Kmart have obviously been going through a lot of turmoil financially. You know, a lot of the consumer sector has really been struggling. It's, even though they're telling us that we're in the midst of a recovery, if not recovered now to a point where we can step away from QE, but I'm not sure how they're coming to that conclusion. But Sears is going to be closing down a number of stores. They're closing down a distribution center. They are going to be laying off about 7,000 people. So who knows what's going to be happening with Sears and Kmart going forward into the future. 63 Kmart stores are going to be closing down, 34 Sears stores, 34 Sears auto centers, and 32 other stores which are just associated with moving material through those stores. We're also looking at some Radio Shack losses here coming up quickly. So, I wonder if some of these companies are just trying to kind of hold on until the holidays, and then we'll see some major run for the door after that. But I think that the end of QE is going to be really big. I don't know what it's going to mean for the country or for the dollar, but we will definitely keep you in the loop on that one. Wanted to talk again about the BRICS banks just a little bit more quickly because there was a report coming out of Russia. Now, this is the TASS news organization, but they're very, very, very sure that there are a lot of international efforts being prompted to bring this entire BRICS developing nation assembly down. They're trying to suppress the development of the BRICS banks, and they are trying to essentially keep those organizations or those countries from unifying and coming forward. So we're going to wonder and see what Russia's response to that we'll say that oppression. We're going to see what Russia's response to that oppression. I don't think Russia's response to oppression has been very good going forward looking back on history. So we'll see what happens there. Got a little bit of tech news and some science news. I want to tell you about this story of a gentleman who bought himself a smart TV and he's scared to turn it on now after reading the 46-page privacy policy. And I'm one of these guys that doesn't have a smartphone, guys, because I don't deal with them. And I'm definitely not going to have a smart TV. I won't be able to get into all of this now because we're going to be going to a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Aaron and Melissa. But please go to redpillreports.com, go to the show section, and check out this story about the smart TVs. Because if you have one in your home, probably a good opportunity to go ahead and get rid of it. As I said, we are getting ready to go to our second station break, and we'll talk to you guys in a minute.
Haven't you always wanted your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker? To get the word out about the fastest growing news talk outlet in the independent media? Joe Joseph here for TruthFrequencyRadio.com. KTFRN and LibertyStickers.com have teamed up to give you your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker. For free! Just go to TruthFrequencyRadio.com/stickers today. And don't forget to visit our friends at LibertyStickers.com, home of the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. Their vast selection and quality of stickers are second to none. TruthFrequencyRadio.com, because silence is consent.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, D.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a one-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. It is the third day of November. It is straight up top of the hour. I'm probably speaking over my music right now. Anyways, so we're back. We're back. This is Red Pill Reports. This is, of course, the first show ever in the history of Red Pill Reports, and we could not be more thankful for having you guys here joining us today. Listeners, you guys are just absolutely fantastic. Appreciate you guys all being here, and I cannot begin to express to you guys how excited I am to be bringing on the next guests that we have coming onto the program. Of course, we're talking about Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. Now, if you guys don't know who Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton are, they are easily two of the most amazing alternative researchers and reporters that there are on the planet. I mean, these guys are the creme de la creme of alternative media, and so thankful to be forging a friendship with them, and so thankful to just have them, you know, willing to come onto the show and talk to us about some of the things that they know and some of the things that they have been learning recently. Aaron and Melissa, can you guys hear me okay?
I believe we're coming through. Thanks for having us on, JD.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. You guys, it's absolutely my pleasure, and especially on day one when we don't know what's going to go on, the beauty of live radio and everything. It's a very exciting time, and I could not be happier to have both of you guys here. I guess we should probably start with the 101 type stuff. For people out there who don't know who you guys are, if you guys would mind, we'll start with Aaron, perhaps. Maybe you could give some of your background, talk a little bit about how you became a researcher and how you hooked up, you know, getting connected with Melissa, and then kind of where that has taken you now, if you don't mind.
Oh, boy. It seems like a long journey. You know, I never thought about it, but the Matrix Red Pill, I guess you just take it once and then you're kind of permanently jolted into reality.
Yeah, I use the word doomed.
Instead of continually taking the delusional pill over and over again, right, you know, on a regular prescription, it's bizarre. You know, I guess waking up is gradual for me over a number of years, but obviously 9/11 was a catalyst, and I never felt like things were right with that from day one. I had a sinking feeling And I had that terrible feeling that the whole rest of the world around me was going along with this horrible thing. And that took some getting used to. And eventually it shifted into activism and found my way not only to the truth about things, but into being able to do something about it and write about it and get the word out about it, and found that other people were resonating and waking up and wanting to talk about this stuff and wanting to hear more. And of course it never ends from there. There's just so many issues, and I fail to ever see an end to this stuff. If you follow the chain of where it goes, it's just, especially the names and where the money comes from, it never ends.
Right. That was going to be my next question to you, actually, was like, given the fact that there are seemingly limitless issues and the agendas seem to be so deep and so, you know, prevalent in just about every aspect, what is it that drives you? What, you know, if you're up against this battle where you can say, well, we're just not going to win because every time we win something, there's going to be 30, 40, 50 more issues. What is it that drives you, Aaron? Is it just the desire to learn more? Is it a personal thing, or, you know, what is that?
Well, maybe I just don't fit in. It just doesn't sit right with me. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not trying to answer for you, but I think us and most of the people on this network that we're friends with, everybody here, and a lot of the people we've worked with in the alternative media, they just want one other person to hear what they have to say, begin to start using their critical thinking skills again, and then looking at the world around them through that lens so that they can try to get more people than to listen to that guy talk about it, and then the other guy who listens to that guy, and then maybe more of us will be seeing these things and sharing these things, and more people will wake up. I think it's about getting more people to start looking at these things and figuring out what's actually going on here, and waking people up out of this zombie-like slumber that so many people are in.
Yeah.
We did a 2-hour and 16-minute long episode. It ended up being a documentary on vaccines. And by the time it was all done, and I mean, I think we stayed up 30 straight hours trying to finish it.
YouTube.com/truestreammedia.
It's all this stuff about vaccines, all this research we did, lots of stuff, government research. I mean, you got all kinds of stuff in there. It goes on for, it's a movie. It's a movie length video. And at the end of it, somebody asked me, I think it was Joe Joseph of Freedom Link asked me, why'd you guys do that? Why would you make a 2-hour and 16-minute video about that? And I said, well, if one parent doesn't damage their child by these vaccines the way that my child's been damaged by vaccines, that's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. That was worth it. One parent.
Well, that is awesome.
So
that is awesome. And I fully agree. I mean, the vaccine issue right now, especially with the, you know, the report coming out of the CDC that they basically allowed, you know, all of these things to happen to children with full knowledge is fully unacceptable. Fully unacceptable to me.
Well, isn't it great they have Ebola now, so they don't even have to talk about the CDC whistleblower that happened all that other stuff? That was right before all the Ebola stuff blew up, and so now that's been completely, I guess, collectively forgotten, not by some, obviously, but that was getting ready to, I mean, CNN was breaking down and having to report on that because of eye reports, and it just kept going back and forth on it, and so it ended up becoming, it was encroaching on the mainstream media. They were going to have to start talking about it, especially when the video came out where the actual doctor on those studies who works for the CDC said, I would never give my pregnant wife a flu shot.
Right.
On tape, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but all of that has now been, you know, it's a long, long ago memory thanks to Ebola. So. Huh.
Thanks to the fact that we've all been, pushed down into where we have basically a 1-week memory span. I mean, I was thinking about, Bergdahl the other day. You know, no one's mentioned that guy in months. It's just, it's insane. There's just all these crazy, huge events that go on. And, as long as there's football or baseball or whatever it is that's on the television, they can distract you and keep you hypnotized. And it's crazy.
I think that's the only reason we haven't seen another Ebola case, because they're waiting for midterms.
And absolutely. Then
after midterms are over, right as Obama's giving universal amnesty with his new executive order, he's told everyone he's going to sign for months now, then there'll be suddenly more Ebola, and everyone will have to look at that. Oh my God, Ebola.
I agree, but you know, since we're on to Ebola, we might as well stick with this for just a second. Melissa, do you want to give your background real quick before, just for people who don't know who you are, why we're listening to you?
Sure. Well, I actually woke up after going through grad school because I was getting a master's degree on our criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know too much about that, but the whole thing is a huge racket. That's what I actually found out. I spent one class just researching Homeland Security and how through the Patriot Act, they've completely screwed up our Constitution so bad that most police departments don't even understand how to read the Fourth Amendment anymore.
Right.
Because they cite all these different Supreme Court rulings and everything. And so I wrote a whole paper just on how screwed up our Fourth Amendment has become thanks to that. Then I ended up randomly watching Loose Change one day, which is, you know, the 9/11 documentary. And that was it for me. I was done. I was like, okay. This is obviously everything that's around us is wrong. And after researching all of that stuff, because I'm one of those, I've always been a researcher. Back when I was a little kid, my mom used to say, God, I hope you don't become a lawyer because you're just going to be so annoying to be around. Because I refuse to ever just, it's Santa Claus bringing the presents, really? Uh-huh, let me see some evidence here. You know what I mean? I've always been that way. And after Loose Change, it was just, I started watching every documentary possible about this stuff. And now, all these years later, I'm pretty much to the point where I've realized that our entire society is based on industrial complexes that are based on human suffering. That's pretty much what they got going on.
Yeah,
so,
that's pretty concise, actually.
It's what I've come up with. It's to that point. I mean, especially the criminal justice system, when you look at that, everything that is about is putting more and more people in prison. In the United States, we put more people in prison per capita than any other country in the world. And it's just never going to stop. That's why at the federal level, they will never legalize marijuana unless they can find other reasons to put people in jail to fill the economy void that will happen from that. Because it's all about how many people we can put in jail. You know,
the whole name of the game is revenue generation these days. You know,
absolutely.
I don't want to get into law enforcement right now because
let's not.
I could go on some major.
But you just asked me what brought me to this, and it was all the research I did towards that master's degree,
right.
and then learning about that took me back to 9/11. I wasn't like Aaron. I wasn't on the day. I knew something was wrong, but I never suspected it was as wrong as I found out it really was,
right.
Ultimately.
Well, we still don't even know how wrong it really was. Like,
oh,
you know,
no.
I mean, I wonder if we ever will know how wrong it really was.
Oh, well, I'm sure we can only surmise, but.
Right. Well, okay. I wanted to come back then to Ebola since we brought it up. Now, I kind of went on a little bit of a mini tirade here earlier in the program about some of my impressions of what Ebola would be like if it were real and it were here in the United States. But Melissa, you did a fantastic expose on True Stream Media about the Ebola is real, what do you want to call it, the campaign, the Ebola is real campaign
propaganda.
That's going on?
It's a propaganda campaign, yeah.
Yeah, without tipping your hat too much into letting us know exactly how you feel about it. But, you got me on the fence, I'm not going to lie, because I felt very strongly at first that it was definitely real, but you raised a lot of good points. So I want to know if you wouldn't mind talking about that for a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. If, as we're being told what's going on about Ebola here, we are being told that Ebola is so bad over in Liberia, for example, that people are just dropping dead left and right in the streets everywhere. And that it's chaos and people are just leaving their dead bodies in the streets. Dogs are eating dead bodies and it's spreading Ebola. I mean, we're being told all kinds of crazy stories, right?
Right.
But if it's really so bad, then what I want to know is why there is such a campaign to get people to even believe that Ebola exists. Propaganda campaign that's being put on by the governments over there in conjunction with NGOs, in conjunction with UNICEF, the WHO. I want to know why that is. And what I mean by campaign, when I say this, when I say propaganda, I am not talking to people like, say, here in America when we think of government propaganda and we think of things you see on CNN. I am talking about the fact that the people over in this country are 24/7 washed in this message, Ebola is real.
Right.
And what I mean by that is they have it on billboards, it's on signs, it's spray painted on buildings. The Monrovia City Corporation, as it's called, puts up banners across the street that say Ebola is real in huge letters. for Independence Day, there are pictures of this. There's banners across the street that say, Happy Independence Day, Ebola is real. Like, okay. Ew. Then they've got people driving around in Humvees with bullhorns, bullhorning people periodically throughout the day, Ebola is real. Any video that I've watched that's been put up by African activists over there, where they interview somebody that's an official from the government, the first thing out of their mouth is always Ebola is real. There are teams of people walking around with t-shirts that say Ebola is real. It went so far that there are the number one hit song on the radio over there is actually a song they wrote that's a horrible auto-tuned song, which you can see on YouTube. Ebola is real. I'm not even kidding.
Are you serious?
It's a song. Ebola is real. It's auto-tuned. It's terrible, but it's the number one song on the radio. So I guess these people just love that song. I doubt it. Okay. And just in case that doesn't work for the older crowd, they also have an adult contemporary version set to a patriotic song that was from the 80s called Sweet Liberia. Right. Also Ebola is real. And if that's not enough for you, they also have it to where when you are in Liberia and you pick up your telephone, not that everyone has telephone, but you pick up the phone to make a call or receive a call, before you can even say hello, the first thing you hear on the phone is a government-sponsored message that's telling you Ebola is real. Now, my question to you is, if people are just dropping dead left and right in the streets everywhere, right, then why is that the first message that they're telling the people over there? Why is the first message not, here's how to protect yourself from Ebola?
Right.
I mean, that's part of the whole message as well.
Well, because
your number one message is that it even exists at all.
Right, which is weird because, you know, you made a point the other day that would, you know, if you see things like that going on around you, natural human instinct is going to take over and you're not going to need someone to say, hey, your neighbor that just bled to death next door, you know, that really happened. We don't need to say that really happened. We need to say, this is how you protect yourself from your neighbor who just bled to death next door.
Exactly. And I mean, there was a video that was put out that was part of my report that was put out by the New York Times where it showed supposedly it was this, father and mother who were bringing their sick older son, I mean, he was probably in his early 20s or something, to one of these hospitals for treatment for Ebola. And he's rolling around on the ground and he said, I'm dying. And I'm not trying to judge, but he did not look sick to me at all. If he's sick, I'm Mary Poppins. The kid did not look sick at all. His coloring was fine. He had and the guy who's reporting for the New York Times, he's in the dying throes of Ebola. Really? He has no hemorrhagic rash. His eyes are completely fine. There's not even any jaundice or red spots or anything in his eyes. His coloring looks totally normal. And then later in the clip they show, he's suddenly sitting up and moving around just fine. So it's like, wait, I thought you were rolling around on the ground dying. Now you're sitting up and looking around just fine. I've seen some of the sick people they've shown. These people can barely move if they're in the dying throes of Ebola. This kid's sitting up looking around, like waiting. He's like, gosh, I've been laying here on the floor forever and they're not coming. I guess I'll just sit here and, you know, scratch my head or whatever. And then they finally let him in. And they don't even question the parents or anything who have been, I guess, in direct contact, obviously, with this kid. Those guys just get to leave. No, hey, can you even just wash your hands or anything? As they're walking away, they're filming this dad, right? I don't know. I don't even know what happened to the supposed mother. She just was not in the shot anymore. Right. The guy is just walking away lightning fast, the dad. And as he's walking away, I paused it. You can clearly see a wad of American cash in his hand.
What?
So I got the videos up at youtube.com/truestreammedia. Bull is real. It's at the end of that video. You can clearly see this. And it's up on the New York Times. It's their YouTube. They've got it up there. I mean, you ask me what I'm supposed to take from that video.
I want to ask you what you take from the whole thing. Because it seems, you know, obviously, it didn't dawn on me the other day when we were speaking, but you just told, you know, when you told me that, the telephone system is now integrated. So when these people pick up a call, you know, the first thing that takes money, right?
That was the creepiest thing to me because that is so Terry Gilliam's Brazil. That is so 1984 because
totally.
Somehow it's even creepier than an outright police state. I think just because the police state's expected.
Right.
And I'm not saying that makes the police state okay. It's just, you know, you can understand troops lining up and like guarding people from doing this and closing the border. I don't like it, but just trying to distort reality and put in that not so subtle, like, I'm going to hit you over the head. This is the official story.
Right.
It just bothers me so much. You know, if there's reason to think that it's a lie, and if it's not a lie, why such the hard sell? Me thinks you protest too much.
Well,
yeah,
and the issue too is that think about all the resources that are going into auto-tuning songs.
They made a freaking song.
Yeah, I mean there's resources there that are not being used to fight or educate people on Ebola if it is real, which, you know, then you got to wonder where those resources are coming from.
And they're playing it on the radio. I mean, that's the thing. And they're saying it's number one on the radio. Cause if something's killing people in the streets, I'm sure everyone can't wait to listen to that and tap their foot along. Like, that doesn't even make sense at all.
I might prefer it over Nickelback. I'm just saying.
Versus Ebola is tragedy versus we can overcome Ebola versus we can get everyone to the hospital and treat them. Ebola is real. That's where they're at.
I mean,
what do you guys think of that?
That would be like ISIS is going to kill you being the number one song in America right now.
Right.
Yes, I can't wait to listen to that. ISIS is going to kill you. That doesn't make sense.
We are at the we do have questions about crisis actors. Of course, you know, we brought up the case of this guy dying in the streets. Didn't look like he was dying, but the New York Times reporter's over there trying to win a Pulitzer Prize with this dramatic narration. And
cash in his hand, walking away.
I'm not saying I want to be any closer to the Ebola hot zone, but I'm not there. I'm not seeing these people. I'm not touching it. I'm not breathing the same air. I don't know what's theater, and we know that the theater's going on. Mm-hmm. We have seen the bids on Homeland Security for crisis actors. That issue has been raised, and I can get more into that in a minute, but that's been very interestingly distorted in the alternative media. But, you know, there's Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a fictional film, but based on reality, or what is reality, I guess. It's a Matrix question.
Right.
You know, Wag the Dog, the 1995 movie with Dustin Hoffman, where they literally hire a Hollywood director to direct a green screen war scenario for the consumption of the American public through the television. They created a war just as William Randolph Hearst did with his yellow journalism papers in the Spanish-American War before there was TV, you know, through the TV where the images are emotional, they're compelling, but they're not real.
No, they're hypnotic, though.
And they're hypnotic. Yes. They have raised America. Since we've had the 24/7 news cycle in this country, they have raised this country on a steady diet of 24/7 fear to push them towards an agenda. And whatever they're actually showing you is never the ultimate agenda. It's usually covering up something else that's going on. But let's just look at Africa for just a second of some of the things that have been going on over there and were going on over there before this happened. You had strikes in some of the largest diamond mines. One of the largest ones is in Sierra Leone. There was a huge strike. It was going on for years. People had been shot. The workers were striking the deplorable conditions over there. Hmm. I guess I haven't heard anything about that since this started.
Right.
We also had that whole thing with Boko Haram, and it was like, bring our girls home, and that whole deal. Remember that? Michelle Obama got involved in the campaign, and then everyone said, hey, wait a minute, that's fake. This is BS. Well, they don't need a reason to go over there now because now they can go over there and build treatment centers for Ebola that just so happen to have barbed wire facing, you know, out, right?
Right.
So don't escape. Like, that doesn't, what is that? And so that's going on. And now suddenly all the girls got brought home, right? Magically now it's all better. Or they're all married or some kind of, it's whatever. But there's all these things. And then you also had reports coming out at the beginning of all of this where a lot of the people over there said this was a government conspiracy.
Right.
And that they thought it was because of the Department of Defense, because we had Department of Defense people from our Army Bio Warfare section was over there in those exact countries where the hot zone is right now, doing testing on all kinds of monoclonal antibodies, growing these things in labs. It wasn't just even Ebola. It was Ebola. It was Lassa fever. It was all these other things that they do over there. Marburg virus. I mean, you name it. And so that was going on. And so there have been articles in the Liberian Daily Observer where they've pointed the finger at the Pentagon for this.
Right.
And a lot of people believe it is a government conspiracy that you don't get sick and go to the hospital, that you go to the hospital and then you get sick, that you get a vaccine. That was another story that came out, that there was a meningitis campaign to vaccinate for meningitis through the Red Cross that was heavy going on before this outbreak. And a lot of those people believe that the vaccines caused whatever the sickness is. Because a lot of people, even in the medical community over here, are saying that this is not behaving like regular Ebola, that there's something different about it. You know, so you've got that. You've also got stories that came out again in the Liberian Daily Observer where multiple sightings of people dumping formaldehyde into water well supplies, which if you drink a solution of formaldehyde, I think it only has to be 30 or 40%, it will cause corrosive internal injuries, which can mimic the last stages of Ebola, because you would vomit blood, you would bleed from orifices. I mean, so there's a lot of other stuff that's going on over there that we're totally not being told, but what we are being told is every 5 seconds that there's going to be Ebola, it's going to be here. People are completely freaked out and just impotent with fear to the point that they don't even have to have Ebola here. They just have to have an Ebola scare on Twitter, and that will be enough to get people to do whatever it is they want. And what they want, I think, is for people to take this billion-dollar vaccination that they're getting ready to produce.
And yet the Americans who've come down with Ebola have acted in ways that are contrary to logic, contrary to how you would deal with the disease, and it defies, it boggles the mind to try to make that narrative work. Something is very wrong with that narrative. I don't know exactly what's going on. I don't doubt the existence of the disease, because I know it was created in a biowarfare lab.
It was created during vaccination.
But I, you know,
the 70s.
Theater of the mind, I don't know what these people were really diagnosed with, because they seem to be magically cured.
Well, what's up with Dr. Craig Spencer, this latest guy? Now that his LinkedIn is scrubbed and people are questioning if he even exists, there's a video out there where they interviewed somebody
his neighbor.
His neighbor. She lived in the building with him, and they said, "This is him, right?" And showed a picture, and she goes, "No," and she made a face like it wasn't acting.
Faked. No way.
That was not acting. Instant reaction though.
Right.
And then people in the comment section of the video were like, "Oh, they could have showed her a picture of Obama or something." Like, why would all these alternative and mainstream media sources show up at this girl and suddenly show her a picture of Obama just to do? That's stupid. That doesn't even make sense. That's ridiculous, of course. But she was like, "No, I don't know who that is." And then you have this Casey Hickox woman who's coming over with Doctors Without Borders. She scrubbed her LinkedIn page to get rid of all ties to the CDC, and the fact that she's part of this elite,
CDC person.
Epidemiologic Intelligence Service.
Her own university called it the CIA of the CDC.
It's the CIA of the CDC. They only put 70 people in that program a year.
Right.
She goes over there and does her thing. She comes back over here and is so blatantly angry about having to self-quarantine in her home for 21 days and not possibly infect family and friends that she's like, "Screw you guys. I'm going to ride my bike and go get pizza. I don't even care." That is not a normal behavioral reaction.
Especially
somebody,
a healthcare professional. That's like the Spencer guy who's like, "Okay, I'm doing my self-quarantine. I'm taking my temperature twice a day like I'm supposed to, but I'm feeling a little fatigued. I think I'm going to go for a 3-mile jog through the busiest city in America and get sweaty all over everybody."
Go bowling or whatever.
It's like that's why I'm so on the fence about this whole thing, you guys, because I understand that there's a propaganda that's taking place over in Africa, and I think it's probably for the benefit of us, given all of the things that we've talked about now. It seems to me that the Ebola is real. You know, they want everybody to associate Africa and Ebola. They just want to make that association blanket so that you just don't have any thoughts about, you know, the diamond mines or the fact that China wants to get in there, the fact that the three countries that are the most affected by Ebola right now have huge oil reserves off the coast that we probably want to have something to do with. They don't want you thinking about any of that. They just want you to think Africa, Ebola. But the other side of that is that when it comes back to our country,
they brought it here so many times they can't.
Well, of course.
Count.
Of course. But I think that there is a certain amount of doom that could definitely result if it does get out here in America, because of exactly what we just talked about. These people who are supposedly trained health professionals that really just don't seem to care or are part of the agenda.
Something we don't.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. These vaccines, I've got a video that when this was really starting to go down, I put up a whole lot of videos on this, and one was of this doctor.
I gotta stop you guys. I think we're going to a break right now.
Oh, break?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out the time.
The clock.
But yeah.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff?
Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube.
Advertising, I mean user experience, has always been our number one priority on YouTube. Recently, we've noticed that there is an abundance of clear white blank space in the margins of each page of YouTube. So we asked ourselves, why don't we fill these with bright, flashy ads? Now, every page will have full-size ads on the edges, and they may or may not be relevant to the videos you're watching. These ads might be unsavory enough to make you want to hide your screen from your parents, but that's what makes YouTube Plus all the more interactive.
'Cause what are you gonna do? Switch to Vimeo?
YouTube Plus. What are you gonna do about it?
Within Radio with Tom Barnes and Tommy Whitgate. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. It is the third day of November. This is your Red Pill Report, the first broadcast in what we hope will be many, 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 many more broadcasts to come. And we are right now fanatically happy to be joined by Mr. Aaron Dykes and Miss Melissa Melton from TruthStream Media. I would highly recommend everyone go on and check out their website. Just from a technical website standpoint, it is easily one of the nicest websites I've ever seen. You guys absolutely crush that website. It is beautiful. Honestly, you go there and it's staggering how well organized everything is and how free flowing everything is.
That's
it's just,
Melissa Melton. She's beautiful on the outside and inside.
Oh, come on.
You guys are awesome.
I'm just to the point on that website that if something doesn't look right to me, I'm going to talk about it, and maybe I sound like a completely crazy person, but maybe there's a point to it. So, I mean, it's time to start asking some questions. Nothing makes sense. This world, the stuff that's going on makes no sense.
I agree. That's why we're all here. I mean, this whole thing, we're trying to create another forum for people to get interesting insight and factual information that they may not be able to get anyplace else. And I love that that's what you guys do. And that's obviously what we're going to try and do here and look forward to, working together in
Definitely.
The future. So is there anything else about Ebola that you guys think we need to mention right now?
I just think that, I mean, we did a report on the guy who is behind the vaccine that's being made. He's been behind edible vaccines as a push for decades. He's made a lot of money off of DARPA contracts, and that guy is the same guy who we have on tape joking about culling 2 billion people off the planet with a genetically engineered virus.
Yeah, he was at a conference or something, and somebody asked him a question. Is that the same guy?
Yeah, he was. Oh. He was. It was a room full of grad students, and he was. They were giving a talk, and actually, it's. I need to go back and probably watch the whole 2 hours because they were talking. There was something on there about water resources, so that's that's becoming pretty important these days.
That's
so.
Charles Arntz, and he's out of Charles Arntz State University, and he's been heavily funded from the Rockefeller Foundation and lots of other biggies, and also the. You know, U.S. biowarfare research.
But this vaccine is going to be pushed through. They're defying all basic moral standards when it comes to what you normally do in these studies. And most drugs they put out are short-term studies. Anyway, there are no long-term drug studies. But this is expedited. So they are already testing things on humans that they shouldn't be allowed to at this point. This is all going to be experimental. But they're the people at the top, the people, the director over at the NIH is talking about how they're going to have to vaccinate whole countries to get this outbreak under control. That's just all it's going to take. All this other stuff they're doing is not going to work. And our medical infrastructure is not ready for an actual outbreak should one occur here. So think about that going into flu season, I would say to people.
I think about that now. I said to you guys the other day that if you're going to get Ebola, right now is the time to get Ebola. While the hospital lines are low, you know, and you can get in and the people, hospital workers might still be coming to work, things like that.
This is the point. I've done articles on this. There are ER doctors that are coming out to say all a hospital can offer you in a viral situation like that is fluids, rest, and prayer. You might as well stay home. You will have less of a chance of getting not only sick from other people, but making other people sick. And on top of that, he's done studies where whole hospitals can be ground to a halt just by a couple of the housekeepers who are the lowest paid people calling out sick because they can't move patients through the hospital. We'll grind them to a halt.
Not to mention the MRSA and everything else.
Oh, right.
Yeah, exactly. But once you've got all of the bureaucracy and all of the cleanliness and all of the procedures that have to go into caring for two Ebola patients in a hospital. He said two in a day is about the most hospitals would be able to handle, having to isolate and do all these things, tests and whatever. By the time you're done with that and all the cleanup, if you got a couple of housekeepers calling out sick, whole hospital will be called, it will grind to a halt. And we already see nurses calling out sick on Craig Spencer. So, well, and that's nurses. That's not the people that get paid $8 an hour to change the sheets.
Right,
so,
who would ostensibly be the first people who are not going to go to work, because I wouldn't go to work.
Going to a hospital does not increase your chances of survival in a situation like that at all.
No, it would decrease your chances. Just because of what Aaron just mentioned, you know, you go in there and get cured of Ebola, and all of a sudden you got MRSA and you die, or they cut your leg off or whatever. It's like, you know, if a hospital can prove to me that they can wipe out MRSA, then I might give them the benefit of the doubt.
On a whole side note, we did a whole research jag on how copper is not only antimicrobial and antibacterial, but copper plating could kill MRSA. And just if hospitals installed, you know, copper top plates on door handles and on hospital beds and stuff
light
like
switches.
That, which will cost a couple billion for the whole country, but in the end would be a good investment, they could pretty much wipe out MRSA, or at least, you know, repel it heavily.
But they're not doing that. So.
Well, no, and they're not going to do the right. I mean, Aaron, when we were speaking the other night, you said very matter-of-factly that if there was going to be a solution to this, it would be mobile quarantine units. It would be that they would send a trailer to your house with a doctor who would pull the person out of the home and keep you in your front yard in a secure place where you're not going to go. You know, that makes sense to me. That's a plan
that
I could
Melissa,
see.
But yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
sorry, Melissa.
No, exactly, though. I mean, that will... The ER doctor who's been in ER, he's testified before Congress about hospital readiness in mass casualty situations, and he was saying, this is going to overwhelm our medical system. There is no way for our medical system to be prepared for this in any kind of way or any kind of way. He was talking about Spanish flu, too. He said there's no way, based on what I just said about, you know, housekeepers calling out, and that it makes so much more sense to send a suited, you know, hazmat suited healthcare worker to someone's home with clean linens to do the tests and everything else and keep that person quarantined so that they don't expose themselves potentially to other people who could get sick or could make them sick and spread this around and grind hospitals to a halt with this heavy protocol and bureaucratic processes. And he was saying that, and absolutely, if we can deliver the mail and, you know, clean people's trash, we can do it that way too, but that would make too much sense, and nothing our government has done in the response to this makes any sense. I was telling you, my 6-year-old son could probably mount a response to this Ebola crisis that would make more sense than what we have seen at every turn from the people in our government.
I told you he would have my vote at this point because of the people that I've seen. But what I'm struggling with then is trying to find a sense of balance, because what you're suggesting to me is that, okay, the motivation behind vaccination is real. They're gonna make a lot of money. They need to get everybody vaccinated. The only way to do that really effectively is to drive up the fear a lot.
Absolutely.
And we're not able to really do that by pointing at the bad things that are happening in Africa. Really, fundamentally, we're not able to, you know, there's too much of a disconnect geographically, and we just don't connect to those people in terms of, even though we do, you know, airplane travel and things like that, we don't really think about it. So for me, for them to drive up the fear here while at the same time trying to preserve the economy, because again, you know, you talk about shutting down hospitals, or you start talking about shutting down airlines, or you start getting the fear out there so people are not going to work and not going to school, that's going to have a catastrophic effect on the economy. So how are you going to balance? I mean, this is obviously just a question, but how would they balance trying to make a whole bunch of money with a vaccine while
it's targeted?
It's got to be, and it's got to be really, really.
I think this is the seeds of chaos. I think that's how the stock market works in government as well. A disruptive event is going to make money up and down for those in the know who know how to make money. It hardly matters what the truth of the situation is. And that's going to happen with the drought. That's probably something I'm going to look into in a little bit. But, you know, I neglected to mention this earlier. About 2 weeks ago, Breitbart, townhall.com, a bunch of these places reported how the Obama administration began expediting visas from West African countries back in August. And that was a couple months after Ebola had already started there.
Wow.
Expediting.
That's
maybe
the opposite of slowing them
down.
They
expedited it. They worked with the law – reportedly, they worked with the law firm Edward Neufel III based in Washington, D.C. to get extensions for visas, to grant visas to people from West Africa to make it easier for them to get, just to sum it up overall. And Melissa said it perfectly several weeks ago. They've done everything they could to bring Ebola to America. Mm-hmm. And I think it's,
I mean, that very first doctor, that was paid for by the State Department, what, like $500,000 or something to fly in that special plane that had the Ziploc bags and twisty ties or whatever it was they had on the plane and fly that guy over here. I mean,
Do you guys notice when he got out of the ambulance too at the hospital? Like he walked out of the ambulance and they walked him across gravel in a hazmat suit. Wouldn't want him to fall down and tear the suit or anything.
Unprotected photographer across the street taking pictures. The nurse that came right after him, they wheeled her in because obviously the criticism. And then there was just some guy standing on the sidewalk talking on a cell phone and all these people in hazmat suits, and they didn't go, oh, hey, buddy, we're wheeling this lady in with the Ebola. You might want to kind of go over there or something. They didn't say anything. They just let him stand. It just doesn't make sense. Nothing they're doing makes any sense. So you can't look at it rationally.
I think we know by now the Obama administration, the New World Order, et cetera, all these groups are deeply steeped in authoritarianism, even though it's hidden, it's cloaked, it's behind the veil. But it's their change comes through chaos.
Right.
And this is why we see so many crazy events. That's why there's always a boogeyman, a new terrorist group, a Cold War for years. All these things, you know, scandals on a regular basis, disease outbreaks. I think we can all remember from our generation what a propaganda psyop AIDS was for a whole decade. There was the facts of AIDS, the things they didn't know, but then there was just the whole culture of fear that I think I was largely raised around. You know, there were jokes about it and references. What if you get it? I didn't know till I was an adult that AIDS was really just something that statistically affected Africans, and that some countries had 40% of their black population with AIDS and were sick and dying of it. And, you know, it was being spread obviously by means other than sexual intercourse. And here we are over here with the scapegoated gay community and things like that. But just not a real rational sense of how this isn't really a Westerner's disease.
Well, and that makes me wonder if this whole Ebola thing is, you know, AIDS 2.0. I'm of the opinion that we released AIDS over there to, you know, for depopulation purposes.
I've seen memos.
Right, of course. So, my thought then would be, you know, was it not successful enough? Were the people who wanted, the places like slums like Monrovia to be wiped out, were they not successful enough? So now we've got to really do something that's, you know.
Go ahead. Dr. Eric Pianca said himself in his speech that was so controversial a few years ago that AIDS was too slow and they wanted airborne Ebola. Those were actually his words.
That's just crazy to think that.
Well, And see, and the thing is that you Africans, that country is developing only because it's being kept in a developing state by multinational corporations, right, and Western governments. There's no reason why they have so many resources over there. And the young Africans that are coming up now with social media are asking these questions. They're saying, hey, why is our country so rich and yet we're all so freaking poor?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even make any sense. And then they come over here and go to like the Young African Summit, and Obama comes out and says, well, not everyone can have a nice house and air conditioning. The planet will boil over, and tells them this kind of crap, you know, which is so, what a bunch of lies. I mean, so obviously, but there's a reason why they want to keep these people in artificial scarcity, keep their country always developing, never developed, because they're raping that entire continent is being raped,
yeah,
by multinational corporations and governments behind them. So, yeah.
And now we're going to fight China for the privilege of continuing that effort, I believe.
Yeah, and it's about to come home here too with this North American Union stuff that's getting ready to happen here. So,
well, I'm glad you brought that up because Aaron, I know, has been really, well, both you guys I know have really been digging into that, and it's funny because the North American Union, you know, that's not something you even hear about anymore. That was a huge thing. It was almost like an urban myth type status a few years ago. Everybody was worried about it, and then it just kind of, you know, like another thing, falls off the radar. But you guys are pretty determined. You guys are pretty sure that it hasn't fallen off the radar, right?
It's about to come back big way.
It hasn't been reported, but it's, I think a lot of people who know my work know that I've been to a number of Bilderberg conferences. I've spoken with Jim Tucker, Daniel Estulin. I've done a lot of reading on my own. And in particular, I've mapped the names and traced the companies they're from. And I frequently just look up to see what they're doing and all the time find conspiratorial points in the sky that end up being traced into constellations. And, you know, Bilderberg takes credit for setting up the European Union. It's something they started more than 50 years ago, and it took them that long to bring to fruition. So just keep that in mind. It started with the European coal and steel community that was between just a handful of the countries. It expanded to other economic agreements. It gradually became political. And now they have this authoritarian, top-down, bureaucratic rule by the European Union Council and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. And the same thing has been planned for the world because, of course, they're planning global government. They're not leaving it to chance. They're not letting this be a gradual thing, even though one of the propaganda points is how, well, the world's just shrinking, we're all one people, these borders are silly, these kind of things. It's very much being planned and concocted. It's very much the kind of globalists who would attend Bilderberg, the Rockefellers, and what have you. And not only have we seen the North American Union being – it's been going on at least since NAFTA, and we're now 20 years into NAFTA.
Right.
So if that gives you a parallel to the 50 years it took for the European Union, that'll tell you maybe about where we're at. In 2006, George W. Bush signed the Security and Prosperity Partnership for North America, which was based on a Council on Foreign Relations white paper from the year before, 2005, called Building a North American Community. And at the time, it was big news with, in particular, Lou Dobbs, reporters like Jerome Corsi, and large sectors of the alternative media. But when it got brought up in mainstream, it was a myth. It wasn't real. It was people who were cuckoo. And, you know, it was to marginalize Ron Paul if he dared mention it, this kind of stuff. But it is still ticking along. There have been a number of reports in the meantime, but I think there's been a major update. The Council on Foreign Relations 2 weeks ago published a report called North America, Time for a New Focus. And it covers the same basic stuff of globalism, erasing borders. They're definitely in favor of immigration reform, easy flow for migrant workers, ease of visas, new understanding of who could be from what country. You know, they want Central American people coming into North America to work. They want the Mexicans. But the biggest thing that I didn't see before, maybe it was there somewhere buried and I just hadn't noticed, is the updates to the energy grid. And this actually does intersect with Africa because since the 70s, we've had the petrodollar. And that's when Nixon took us off the gold standard in 71. And in 73, the oil crisis has started, which were manufactured and manipulated with the work of Kissinger, who was at the time not only National Security Administrator, but also Secretary of State.
Right.
Currently, he was the secret government behind Nixon. And he's been a Rockefeller Foundation and Rockefeller family trustee since the time he was tapped to go to Harvard University.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So He's a lifelong Rockefeller go-to guy. And that year at Bilderberg, 73, they arranged for the oil crisis and came up with a scheme that when the OPEC countries held the world hostage on oil prices, they would recycle their money on Wall Street and allow the Wall Street, City of London people to become rich and the rest of the world to have to buy the expensive money and ultimately have money that was diverted through the Federal Reserve Wall Street system, okay? Mm-hmm. This was a way to hold the nations of the world hostage and make them subservient to U.S. dominance. Today we know that the petrodollar is declining. That's super important. It's going to be gradual. We know Russia, China are against it. They're talking about a basket of currencies.
Right.
And we'll probably even see a global currency. In the meantime, finally, America will get to see the domestic production they've been demanding since at least the 70s. Didn't do it. Couldn't do it through the Reagan administration despite promises, et cetera, et cetera. Hmm. Well, now they're going to shift into that if you can buy this new Council on Foreign Relations report. They want muchos fracking. It's already going on. There's reports about how it causes everything from groundwater contamination to earthquakes to upset neighbors, rezoning for residential, big environmental problems, but easy shale gas energy has created a new boom, and they're just going to expand it not only in the United States, but in Mexico, Canada, etc. And they talk about in the report having the XL Keystone pipeline approved as well. And on top of that, they're talking about an interconnected Mexico-U.S.-Canada power grid.
Wow.
Mexico will be on our power grid. And we already have lots of problems with our power grid. They're, first of all, talking about how it's crumbling. Second of all, talking about how an EMP attack, a terrorist attack, a cyber attack, or anything else could bring it down globally. I mean, that is across the whole system in the U.S. or locally in certain areas of the energy sector. They say it's very vulnerable. And we know on the agenda is a new smart grid, power grid that would require billions and billions of dollars of new investment. And now they're talking about hooking up to Mexico. We've already got rolling brownouts and blackouts. And to top that off, the introduction of the Obama administration has meant officially designating carbon dioxide as a pollutant.
Uh-huh.
It has meant the EPA got to finally start regulating coal-fired power plants. And so in Texas in particular, where so much of that coal-fired stuff is powering electricity grids, they have begun artificially shutting off production, though they could clearly produce more, and creating brownouts and blackouts and higher prices, premium prices in both the winter and the summer.
Wow.
And we have actually been getting power from Mexico for a number of years.
See, that's a surprise. I think that really shocked me when you told me that. I had no idea that our grid was connected like that. That's just shocking to me because I wondered, you know, who's making money off of that? If you know, is there one industry or how does that resource, you know, volume flow through there? Are we supplying power to them? Are they supplying power to us? Who's paying for it?
There's actually backflows in either direction. And, you know, just in case you weren't paying attention, in Ukraine, natural gas has become a super weaponized thing. Of course, Russia supplies most of the gas to, or a very large portion, at least a full quarter to Europe, you know, very important in wintertime for heating and stuff. And through the crisis of Crimea and the Ukrainian civil war, that's become weaponized. The U.S. has tried to block Russian gas, make it seem shameful. They're trying to open up new shale gas fields there so they could supply Europe and there's just a whole political shift there. There were terrorism acts against their gas. So, I mean, obviously, we already know how big energy is, but
right,
it's going to become important in new ways in the U.S. in the coming years. In this report, the authors, Robert Zoellick, who was at the World Bank under George W. Bush, he's now the senior advisor for Goldman Sachs International. He says they want candidates in 2016 on both sides of the aisle to follow these agenda points. So that means if Hillary runs, if Jeb runs, if Rand Paul runs, if Ted Cruz runs, whoever it is, Joe Biden, they want them reflecting these Council on Foreign Relation points. And at a backdoor, we know who pulls the strings kind of way, they right. expect them to bring these points up. So I would look for these agenda points.
Well, it makes sense, too. And if you think about Biden's son just taking a job over in the Ukraine at, you know, their largest natural gas producer.
Right.
I mean, there's just so much, you know, you can't start looking into these issues and not see the agenda. It's so apparent these days. It's crazy. But
I'll give you one final detail on that. This most recent report at the CFR was co-authored by two people, co-chaired. David Petraeus, who was, of course, Defense Secretary and CIA Director, resigned in kind of a piddly scandal. Like, who cares?
Right.
I mean, his wife cares, obviously, but that's pretty much it. And now he's been given a newly created position at KKR, Kravis, Kohlberg, and Roberts, the biggest leverage firm out there, who attend Bilderberg annually, directed by Henry Kravis, a major Bush family insider who goes back several generations. David Petraeus now at KKR, and Robert Zoellick, as I mentioned, at Goldman Sachs. These are the authors of the CFR report. In 2007, when the North American Union was actually in the news, they were the two companies behind the largest ever leveraged buyout in all of history for $45 billion of Texas Energy, TXU Energy, which owned like 9 out of the 12 coal-fired power plants, which were quickly regulated by the EPA.
Right.
In no less than 2 years after they bought out this company. And with all their inside knowledge with what Goldman Sachs and KKR are involved in, I really have to wonder if they didn't buy it out so they can make money off of the austerity of artificial scarcity and the other new energy markets they knew were coming.
I like how you're pretending to wonder about that, because I don't think there's really any conjecture. All right, guys. So, brilliant reporting, and I love that you guys are keeping up on the NAU, and we will definitely be keeping up to date with you guys on that. I wanted to, we've only got a few minutes left, maybe three or four, but I want to switch to Jeb versus Hillary, because I think the word doomed just keeps coming up in my mind over and over every time I talk to you guys. But so I know you guys have some opinions on the Jeb versus Hillary thing. If you would lay them on us, I'd appreciate it.
Who do you want to vote for? I mean, it's like that South Park episode. It's a douche and a turd sandwich. I'm sorry. Sorry to say that on your first show. But there's no difference between the interests that these two people serve at all. No. And like I said to you, what, maybe one of them will wear a dress, but I can't even tell which one that's going to be. These are the same people, and they're all about the same stuff. They're all about NAFTA and the NAU, both of them.
Well, yeah.
All the way. So they're going to do whatever, you know, the fact that the Bush family, they're putting out articles in the New York Times, the Bush family's fired up at the idea of another Clinton Bush presidential election.
Right.
Ew. Don't make me, it's like, make me throw up. I mean, this is the funniest thing about it, though, is that it's going to definitely be, it's not going to be the vote between the lesser of two evils like we normally get. It'll just be a vote between evil and evil. That's it. And they're going to shove it down the throats of everyone, because even while you have people, like right now, people are still arguing. If you go to any, you know, you go to any MSNBC article or Fox News article that's even the slightest bit political and look at the comments, you've got people fighting each other like fifth graders about, you know, the left and right paradigm. But when you have put out articles about the potential of a Bush v. Clinton presidential election 2016 run, everybody agrees, no, we do not want these political, unofficial dynasty families in our country. We do not want them running things anymore. No more Bushes, no more Clintons, and everybody agrees.
Right.
Everybody gets together and agrees on that point, at least. So that's pretty, I think that's almost sad in a way. I mean, it's great that people are actually agreeing with each other for once on something, but you know, because usually they just use the left-right paradigm to divide everyone.
Right.
But on this particular point, everybody can agree. And so this is the thing. If we get, it doesn't matter which one of these people wins, we're going to still get the same New World Order crap we've been getting, the same oligarchy we've been getting, regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then you can even, you know, make the issue more difficult by throwing Rand Paul and his Israel First stance in there, which absolutely confuses everyone to death, and Ted Cruz and his wife. So, I mean, it's like cherry-flavored Robitussin versus castor oil. I don't want either. I don't want any of these people. And to be honest, you know, I didn't really talk about my stance on voting, and I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but I don't vote. I'm not a voter. I'm not
no
ever going to vote. There's no confidence. And honestly, I believe that if you want a master, you should by all means go out and vote for one. But I feel pretty confident that I can self-regulate. So that's what I'm going to lead you guys with.
Confidence, and I'll have to admit I got conned a few times, and I'm done with it.
There's just no reason. We need to all shun it like the Amish. We need to all shun the voting process in this country. It is run by corporations and money, and that's it. 91% of the people who win in these elections that everyone's going to go vote in tomorrow is just the person who had the most money.
We're running out of time, guys. I love you guys for being here. Thank you so much.
We
go, everybody. Go see Truth Stream Media. Check out their website and support Truth Frequency Radio. This is Red Pill Reports. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Thanks, guys. Love ya.
Thanks.
According to a 2010 earnings report, Google earns nearly $80 million in a single day. On August 15, 2012, Google was fined $22 million by the FTC for illegally stealing your data. Google learned its lesson, right? Wrong. The very next day, in a show of arrogance, the Washington Post reported that Google employees rode tricycles around sacred Mayan ruins.
Because we know where you are, we know where you've been, we can more or less guess what you're thinking about.
Can you trust this megalomaniac with your personal information? Can you trust Google? With Microsoft's Bing, Steve Ballmer has personally ensured your privacy. He's even partnered with Facebook to keep you connected to your loved ones. Make the moral choice. Decide with Bing.
I'm Steve Ballmer, and I approve this message.